KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 20 degrees below zero at Atlantic. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Well, the Blackbird Bend Casino in Western Iowa, formerly known as Casino Omaha, is set to reopen in a brand new building this Wednesday. The table games, a restaurant and bar and gift shop are all coming back with a move to the new building. The Omaha Tribe-owned casino, located in Ottawa, was shut down by Missouri River flooding in June of 2011. It reopened in a portion of the old building about a year ago while the new casino was under construction. Marketing director Mike Kreisel said the new casino is next door to the old building and sits six feet higher than the old casino in order to prevent future flooding. Part of the old building that will reopen in March as a bingo hall. News time is 8:01.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Store in Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV Store, where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
Well, classes at Briarcliff University in Sioux City have been canceled today because of a water main break. The Sioux City Journal says water to the campus was shut off, leaving students and school workers without running water and heat. An assistant dean, David Ahrens, said in an email to students that crews will be working on repairs through Sunday night. The university had contacted the American Red Cross to help with off-campus housing. The organization that blew the whistle on abuses at the Iowa Juvenile Home for Girls in Toledo is investigating another state-run institution for teenagers.
We are looking at the educational services at Eldora.
That's Jane Hudson, Executive Director of Disability Rights Iowa. The Eldora State Training School is for boys between the ages of 12 and 18 who've been charged with a crime and sent to the Eldora facility rather than to prison.
Once again, it's not educators running the school. There were lots and lots and lots of problems with the school at Toledo. We think since it's the same people operating it, there may be problems at Eldora as well.
The State Training School for Boys and the now-closed Iowa Juvenile Home for Teenage Girls have both been under the jurisdiction of the Iowa Department of Human Services. Governor Terry Branstad said he agrees with Disability Rights Iowa that Eldora's operation should be scrutinized, but he's not calling for closure of that facility.
I think it would be appropriate to look at all of our institutions and are they meeting the needs of the children that are placed there? And is there better options or alternatives? So I'm not advocating that we change or close that institution.
Branstad and Hudson made their comments during recent appearances on Iowa Public Television. Expanding access to publicly funded preschool in Iowa is a top priority for Democrats in the legislature this year, but it's not clear Republican Governor Terry Branstad or Republican lawmakers are on board with the idea. Senator Herman Quirnbach, a Democrat from Ames, says he's been working on legislation to expand the Iowa statewide voluntary preschool program, which was established in 2007 to fund preschool for four-year-olds. Quirnbach, a professor at Iowa State University, expressed concern that there are not always enough public preschool spots available, meaning some kids may end up on waiting lists. Branstad said he prefers to focus resources on low-income families. The death of a 13-year-old boy in a snowmobile accident in northwest Iowa is bringing attention to off-road vehicle safety. The teenager, Raymond Gatzmeyer of Vonda, died last Wednesday when he hit a rope suspended between the pillars of a bridge. David Downing with the Iowa Department of Natural Resources says such dangers are common when crossing someone's property.
Often during the year, those landowners make changes to the property. They may put up a cable between a gate. They may have a suspension wire coming down off of a corner post, and those types of hazards are unmarked.
There are plenty of places to ride in Iowa that are safe, according to Downing.
We have over 8,000 miles of designated snowmobile trails in the state, and those trails are groomed and they're marked, so you know where the hazards are. And that's why we always recommend that folks stay on those trails.
At the time of the accident, Gatzmeier was with three other people, two who were on snowmobiles and one who was operating an ATV. They were not injured. It's unclear why there was a rope attached to the bridge pillars. Gatzmeier was wearing a helmet. Downing made his comments on Iowa Public Radio's River to River program. A northwest Iowa town is losing its ambulance service because of a lack of volunteers. Oyens, Iowa, is going to have to rely on the nearby town of Lamars and Remsen to provide ambulance service, but that will likely mean slower responses to emergencies. Oyens Ambulance Director Dan Cronin says it's hard to attract new volunteers. There aren't many people willing to commit the time needed to become certified. Cronin said he hopes to assemble a group of volunteers later this year who are willing to serve as first responders in medical emergencies. Those people could help to stabilize patients until an ambulance arrives. University of Iowa researchers have developed a probe they hope can eventually be used to find staph infections in people without having to send samples into a lab. UI Assistant Professor of Internal Medicine James McNamara says they've developed a probe that can detect an enzyme given off by the staph bacteria.
Basically, you can shine light on an animal or on a person, and then you can detect with a camera a different wavelength of light coming off wherever there's an infection.
He says the process of finding a staph infection now can take 24 hours up to days to get confirmation, while it takes around half an hour with the probe.
It's much faster, and we can also see where in the body there might be an infection. Current techniques require biopsy and culture to really definitively determine that there's staph infection and where that is in the body.
Cutting the time from diagnosis to treatment, he says, is important.
It spreads so fast. These infections can be emergencies. They can be life-threatening situations. And so, at least in some cases, time really is of the essence. And so if the physicians can recognize that there is indeed an infection, where it is, they can choose the appropriate therapy.
McNamara says once doctors know the location of the infection and have the proper medications to attack it, that's important because the staph bacteria are common in hospitals and can cause a multitude of problems.
They're one of the most common causes of a lot of different types of infections. They're a common cause of joint infections, bone infections, which is osteomyelitis, and then these infections can spread from localized infections to the blood, which is a really dangerous situation.
The researchers still have some work to do, he says, before the device can be used on people.
We need to do toxicity studies in animals and then progress to clinical trials, and that will take some time. But that said, this work is, because of the nature of it, I mean, the development work that we're doing is moving pretty rapidly.
McNamara says they expect the final product to be a lot less expensive than the biopsies now used to detect the bacteria, and he says there's also the cost savings of finding, treating, and stopping the bacteria before it can spread in the body and do more damage. And finally in the news, a report from the Center for Rural Affairs shows a major difference between urban and rural residents on whether they would expand Medicaid under the Affordable Care Act. John Bailey, the center's rural public policy program director, says about half the states in the country have expanded their Medicaid coverage under the ACA. Bailey says their study shows most of that expansion has happened in the urban states.
There seems to be some correlation between whether a state is primarily rural and primarily urban and their decision on the Medicaid expansion, with rural states, the states with the highest rural populations, deciding not to expand, and the states with the highest urban populations deciding to expand.
Iowa's plan is unique. The state will offer health care coverage to as many as 150,000 uninsured Iowans, many of whom will get subsidies to buy private insurance. It requires a small monthly premium payment from those who fail to have yearly checkups or follow a doctor's orders to quit smoking or make other healthy lifestyle choices. The federal government granted Iowa a waiver for the plan in December, but it forbids state officials from kicking people out of the program if they fail to pay the premium. Bailey says in many of the rural states, there is a large group of low-income people who are not covered by health insurance who would be covered if Medicaid were expanded.
There's going to be a lot of rural people who could qualify for this expansion, and some of the presentations we've done throughout the Great Plains on the Affordable Care Act have borne that out. A lot of the people who come to our meetings, come to our presentations, find out they're in this gap.
Bailey says they're also finding many people in rural states losing the insurance coverage they currently have, that is. He says that they believe the best solution is for states to expand their Medicaid coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, Georgia is hoping to avoid the same predicament it got into nearly 2 weeks ago when icy roads stranded people in the Atlanta area and turned highways into parking lots for more than a day. Governor Nathan Deal says he's already put emergency response agencies on alert and already has begun preparations ahead of tonight's anticipated storm. The National Weather Service has issued a winter weather watch for the Georgia area from 7 p.m. today through 7 p.m. tomorrow. And a Utah woman who was married just 2 weeks ago has died while base jumping near Zion National Park. Park officials say 28-year-old Amber Bellows fell about 2,000 feet to the ground Saturday when her parachute failed to open. Bellows, an experienced jumper, was with her husband when the accident happened. Her body was recovered Sunday morning. Park officials say base jumping is not allowed in the park because it's so dangerous. News time is 8:10.
This is Alan Josephson from the TV Star Atlantic, your local Dish authorized retailer. You've heard about the Hopper system from Dish, but you don't know what it is. Stop at the TV store where we have a Hopper demo system installed for you to see how easy it is for you to experience the best in TV entertainment. We will show you how you can pause live TV, record with Primetime anytime, use AutoHop to automatically skip through commercials, and use the new Dish Explorer app to find your favorite programming. With an internet connection, you can also access your favorite apps, including Facebook. The Hopper even has Bluetooth capability, so you can listen to your programming on wireless headphones while everyone else is sleeping. How cool is that? The Hopper is more than just watching TV. Stop at the TV store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic to see and hear the amazing Hopper system from Dish. Record ABC, CBS, Fox, and NBC plus two additional channels. Feature must be enabled by customer. AutoHop only available for playback the next day of select primetime shows on ABC, CBS, Fox, NBC, and must be enabled by customer.
In the funeral announcements, Avril Karstens, age 80, of Des Moines and formerly of Anita, died February 1st. Memorial services for Avril Karstens will be today at 10:30 at the First Christian Church in Des Moines. Isles Funeral Home, Dunn's Chapel in Des Moines, is in charge of the arrangements. Charlie Dennis Hughes, age 84, of Walnut, died Friday. A massive Christian burial service for Charlie Hughes will be today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Walnut. The Kramer Funeral Home in Omaha has arrangements. Grace Hansen, age 91, a resident of Caring Acres in Anita, died February 2nd. Funeral services for Grace Hansen will be today at 10:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Fern Smith, age 99, of Greenfield, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Fern Smith will be today at 2 o'clock at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Earl Clausen, age 62, of Adair, died Friday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Earl Clausen will be held tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has arrangements. Charles Summers, age 76, of Harlan, died Friday in Omaha. Funeral services for Charles Summers will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Daisy Marie Schmidt, age 90, of Audubon, died February 1st. Funeral services for Daisy Schmidt will be tomorrow at 2 o'clock at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Margaret Adkins, age 85, of Dexter, died Saturday. Funeral services for Margaret Adkins will be held Wednesday at 10 a.m. at the Zion Lutheran Church in Dexter. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has arrangements. Dennis Leroy Meyer, age 70, of Atlantic, died Friday at CCMH. Funeral services for Dennis Meyer will be held on Wednesday at 10:30 at the First United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has arrangements. Ruby J. Kinzer, age 91, of Griswold, died Sunday at the Griswold Care Center. Services for Ruby Kinzer are pending at the Dune Funeral Home in Griswold. And Keith Kirkman, Sr., age 88, of Messina, died this morning at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Keith Kirkman, Sr. are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Messina. News was brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.